first group.
The praises chosen for this evening's worship from Christian hymns are metrical psalm 103, verses 1 to 7, and then hymn 190, and then psalm 30, 1 to 5, and hymn 738. We'll just read the first lines of those psalms. Psalm 103, first of all, the metrical psalm. O thou my soul, bless God the Lord, and all that in me is, be stirred up his holy name to magnify and bless. Hymn 190. High in the heavens, eternal God, thy goodness in full glory shines. And then Psalm 30, 1 to 5. Lord, I will thee extol, for thou hast lifted me on high, and over me thou to rejoice madest not mine enemy. And then hymn 738. Thou hidden source of calm repose, thou all-sufficient love divine, my help and refuge from my foes, secure I am if thou art mine. Now let us pray together. O Lord, our gracious God, we humbly bow before thee, acknowledging that thou art here in this place. We draw near in the name of thy Son, covering no distance, but acknowledging thy presence. How we thank thee that we come to a gracious God in Christ, all thy glorious attributes, shining comfortably, winsomely, and approachably, because through a mediator. And Lord, we come in the name of Jesus Christ. We seek that which thy word says, boldness and confidence, access. And we pray that we may realize it in our experience. What a wonder this is, that we can come to thee with favor and acceptance, standing upon mercy's ground alone. We pray we may be covered by the mighty atonement of thy Son, cleansing us from all sin. And any latest sins, O Lord, we pray, and that we might be conscious that we are clothed with righteousness divine and accepted in thy Beloved One. May our standing be so felt to be secure and unshakable in Christ. On Christ, the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. May we know thy Holy Spirit's working in our minds, heart, spirit. O, grant us grace, draw us, O Lord, and we will run after thee. And grant that we might hear thy voice in the preaching, and that we may answer in the words of the psalmist, thy face, Lord, will I seek. And may we come to thee and know thee and be blessed in thy presence. Remember all such gatherings like this, Lord, in empty buildings, yet may those buildings be full of thy presence. And grant, dear Lord, that we might truly be with thee in these things. And on the internet, Lord, may thy word go forth far and wide, running very swiftly to the ends of the earth. And by thy sovereign Spirit, oh, that multitudes might be blessed in every way. We pray, Lord, for one another here at Holywell. Remember us each one in our homes, separated from each other in this strange way. But grant, O Lord, a sense of fellowship nonetheless, in spirit, together around thy throne. We pray that thou wilt look after us each, keep us all safe. Bless parents and children, bless older friends. Watch over us, Lord, in love. Be with us all as we face another week, and some going to work, and most kept indoors. We pray that thou wilt, O Lord, help us, especially at those times of difficulty and strain, and grant, dear Lord, special grace. We pray, dear Lord, for thy people in all this land, that thou wilt bless, and through these restrictions, Lord, may there be unexpected blessings, positive things, good things coming out that we never realized. For we know, dear Lord, that thy ways are past finding out, and thou hast thy way, even in the whirlwind and in the storm. We commend to thee, dear Lord, thy dear people in other lands, especially the poorer countries, which don't have the medical services that we do and the caring agencies and the provision. We pray, O Lord, keep thy dear people safe. Keep them provided for. Be merciful to them, we pray. Remember Sri Lanka, Lord, especially, and countries in East Africa. We pray, dear Lord, be gracious as the God of the whole earth and the God of thy church. We commend ourselves now to thee. Hear our prayer. Look upon us in kindness and favour. Let us hear thy voice, and may we be blessed by thee, through Jesus Christ, and for the glory of thy great name. Amen.
Amen.
Now we read from God's word in the Epistle of Paul to the Philippians, and chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, and we commence at verse 1. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beseech you, Euodias, and beseech Syntyche, that they be of the same mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which laboured with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow labourers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord alway, and again I say, rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. We read in the New Testament of three times when Paul was in prison. The first Acts chapter 16, the second, Acts chapter 27, and the third, 2 Timothy. In each of these situations, he triumphed over his circumstances. In Acts 16, he and Silas were in prison at Philippi in the most excruciating of circumstances, and yet we read that at midnight they prayed and sang praises to God. In Acts 27, he is in prison at Rome awaiting his appeal to Caesar, but we find he writes the epistles to the Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and Philemon, and receives visitors and teaches them. In 2 Timothy, his final imprisonment before being martyred, he speaks of being ready to be offered, and his departure is at hand, and he looks forward to the crown of righteousness. See then how the Lord can help his people surmount trouble and suffering. Here in Philippians chapter 4, he writes from the second of these detentions, recorded in Acts 27. Though he is in confinement, pending his appeal to Caesar, the epistle is upbeat, positive, and brimming with Christian assurance. Paul's cheerfulness proves that he is being wonderfully helped. And the reason for this can be found in different places in this letter. Among them is our text, Philippians 4 and verse 5, the last part of the verse, "The Lord is at hand." That was obviously a reality to Paul, and it can be to us. That phrase, "the Lord is at hand," it became a watchword amongst the early Christians. They would say it to each other as they met. "The Lord is at hand." It's good for us to think about this in our day, because whatever else has changed, nothing changes here. The Lord is at hand. The Lord there means the Lord Jesus Christ. Almost always in the New Testament, it refers to him. It's like when we say the Queen or the Prime Minister. We know their names. We refer to them in that way. And Jesus Christ, but we say the Lord. Remember in John chapter 21, on that resurrection morning when he appeared to the disciples on the shore of the Lake of Galilee, Peter jumped out of the boat and said, "It is the Lord," referring to the Lord Jesus Christ. When it says at hand, it means near, close by, within reach. It can also mean on the way, soon to arrive. The Lord is at hand. So what is the message to us today? This statement, "the Lord is at hand." Well, in the first place, you have here the reality of his presence. The Lord is at hand. A brief phrase in passing, but what great and precious things are in these words. In every sense, this is true. The Lord is at hand, or near to. Everything, everywhere. Ephesians 1 and verse 23, we read that our Lord at his exaltation, he filleth all in all. Present, everywhere, throughout the universe, near to everything that exists. Colossians 1 and verse 17, all things were made by him, and by him all things things consist. Well, if everything created consists by his power, then he is present everywhere to make that so. Hebrews 1 and verse 3, upholding all things by the word of his power. So he is seen here as God, his omnipresence, present everywhere at the same time. In all the universe, he is there. A heathen philosopher once asked a Christian, "Where is God?" And the Christian replied, "Let me first ask you where he is not. The Lord is at hand." But in a special sense, this is true. The Lord is at hand. It means he is near to each one of us in a gracious and unique way. And that is only true of a Christian. The whole creation is thy charge, but saints are thy peculiar care. By his Spirit, he actually dwells in us. In Romans 8, 9, Paul says, "If any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. But by the Spirit the Comforter, he indwells us because we are his." He's at hand, so near. Colossians 1, 27, "Christ in you, the hope of glory, the beginning of our heaven, is knowing that he is in us, and one day we will be with him there." Galatians 2, 20, the apostle says, "Christ liveth in me." Again, it's union with Christ, isn't it? We in him, he in us. How could he be closer? And we say the Lord is at hand, so profoundly near to us. But the other side to this is, not only his indwelling presence by the Spirit, but his divine presence with us. Not as man who is glorified in heaven, his human nature glorified there at the Father's right hand, but as divine, as Jehovah Jesus. He says, Matthew 28, 20, "Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." Wherever his people are, he is with them. Or at all times, he is with them. So it's that divine, invisible, accompanying presence. Let me put it to you this way. You are in your home at the present time. If the Lord Jesus should walk into your home, visibly, smiling, what effect would it have? You'd be absolutely overjoyed. You'd fall at his feet. But is there any real difference? It's his invisible presence. Just as real as if he were able to be seen by you. He's with you. Always. Right now. His divine presence. And thirdly, not only in every sense, and in this special sense, but in a personal sense, this is true. The Lord is at hand. He wants this to be our experience. And the Bible speaks of his manifesting himself to us. John 14 and verse 21. And when this is so, it is our encountering his being there in actual experience. And you know, this can be true without us realizing it. Often it is true without us realizing it. Hagar, for instance, in Genesis 16. You remember how she ran away from Abraham and Sarai, and how that she was accosted lovingly by the angel of the Lord in the wilderness, and he spoke to her. The angel of the Lord, of course, a pre-incarnate appearance of the Lord Jesus. He spoke to her and he assured her, and he sent her back with promises, kind words, and he said amongst them, "The Lord hath heard thy affliction." Affliction has a voice that the Lord hears. And then after it was over, she then reflects upon it and says, "Thou God seest me. Have I looked after him? Have I looked upon him that liveth and seeth me?" It was an encounter. And she was hardly aware of it. Only afterwards. But he's there at hand. More than we realize. You think again of Mary Magdalene, whom we mentioned this morning. But there at the tomb, the empty tomb. And she was crying, and the Lord was actually standing in front of her. She supposing him to be the gardener. But he was there. He was at hand. She didn't realize it at first. But when he spoke, "Mary," said her name. Then, of course, "Rabboni," "Master." She knew it. And that's often what makes the difference, isn't it? When the Lord speaks to us. When he lays his word upon our heart. And we hear his voice, as it were, in that word. And tears are turned to rejoicing. The Apostle Paul, again, 2 Corinthians 12, the thorn in the flesh, the debilitating experience, whatever it was that greatly weakened him, and praying that it might be taken from him. And then Paul says, "He said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee." And it was the word, bespeaking the presence of Christ. And he knew it. And he spoke of the power of Christ resting on him. And he even glorying in his infirmities, if that were to be the case. So you see, he's at hand. Even when you don't realize it. Even in the darkness. Even in perplexity. Even in worry and fear. The Lord is at hand. He's right there. Oh, that he might speak to us through these things, manifesting himself to us. It makes all the difference. Next time you are feeling at your worst and the Lord seems far away, it cannot be so, because the statement is, the Lord is at hand. He is there, waiting for you to turn to him and waiting to reveal himself to you. For he wants to give himself to us. There's that lovely word in Psalm 145 and verse 18 that we read, that he is nigh unto all that call upon him. That call upon him in truth. It means to sincerely pray. That's the qualification, you see. To sincerely pray. He reads our hearts as he listens to our prayers. And if there's sincerity, he delights to listen. We come in the name of Christ. We come on mercy's ground, trusting and believing and loving. But if there's a true heart, he hears us. And he is there in a manifest way. The great way that we prove this is what our Lord says in John 14, verse 21. And these are very important words. Our Lord teaches, "He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me." So we show our love to Christ by our obedience to him. "And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him." Now, there's the qualification, honestly seeking to please him and to keep his word and do his will. And when he says, I will love him, he always loves us. But he means, I will love him so as we'll feel it and know that he loves us, and will manifest myself to him. We will realize it. That's the great reward of obedience. His felt pleasure in our souls. We love him because he first loved us, and now he loves us when by our obedience we love him. Seek to please him. Honestly do his will, his revealed will in the scriptures, the commandments, the precepts. Blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. Christ reveals himself, shows himself to us in an inward, unique and wonderful way. And it becomes a personal thing. He's at hand, right there, within reach. You could touch him at your elbow. What a wonderful experience. There's no more blessed thing to be in the centre of his will, walking the narrow path of obedience and yet the blessed path, because it's accompanied by his felt presence. There's of course only one way to lose this, and that is when we are not right with him. The great cost is to our souls and to our comforts. Remember when Jonah in chapter 1 verse 3, the Lord called him to go to Nineveh, and instead he went the opposite way to Tarshish, and we read, from the presence of the Lord. Not literally, because he's always present, but he left the felt sense of that presence, the enjoyed sense of his presence, and there was a loneliness in his soul. What a wretchedness he must have felt as he made for the port and went down into the hold of that ship and was going the opposite way to the Lord's will. There's nothing so wretched like Luke 22 verse 54. We read, Peter followed afar off. He allowed a distance to come between himself and the master. No wonder he ended up denying the Lord three times. This is the way we shall lose the sense and the enjoyment of his being at hand, by our sin and rebellion and backsliding. But seek grace to keep close to him, in his word and in his will, and he'll be close to you. He'll be at hand. Well, it's the reality of his presence. We cannot be at hand with each other at this time, but the Lord can be at hand for each of us. Let's look secondly at the results of his presence. The Lord is at hand. If this is so, what follows for us? Well, in the surrounding verses, we have the answer. Look back at verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say, rejoice. If the Lord is at hand, then there is joy. And you find joy is like a refrain throughout this epistle. 6 times the word joy is found, and 8 times the word rejoice. Paul is emphatic, isn't he? Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say, rejoice. But if he's near, if he's real, if he's precious to us, that is joy. Wonderful joy to know him experimentally in this way. Now it needs to be said, there's a difference between joy and happiness. And it doesn't say anything about happiness, does it? You see, happiness is when everything is agreeable and everything is going my way. As people speak about finding happiness, don't they, in life. Finding happiness in being married. And finding happiness in a job that they love doing. finding happiness in their holiday destination. And happiness is the great craving of people, because it means that all is always as they could wish it to be. But you see, joy is different. Happiness is when everything is wonderful. If everything is not wonderful, there's no happiness. Joy is when Christ is near. And everything can be far from wonderful. Everything can be far from happy. But if Christ is near, there is joy. In other words, it's a rejoicing that does not depend upon circumstances to make it so. It depends upon Him, the Lord Himself. He never changes. That's why Paul, you see, in prison, can rejoice even though things are far from happy, because the Lord was with him. You think of their experience at Philippi in Acts 16. Paul and Silas, what had happened to them? Their backs had been whipped by rods, and so there were open wounds, lacerations on their bare backs. And then they were dragged to this prison, this primitive prison. The cruel jailer was told to make them fast, and so they were dragged into the innermost part of the prison, just a dugout in the earth probably, dark and damp and cold, and they were flung into this. Their feet were put in stocks in the most painful position, and there they lay those hours. And yet at midnight, the very time when you would be at their worst, really, they sang, they gave thanks, and they sang praises to God. They sang the Psalms, and they thanked God. What enabled them to do that? That wasn't happiness, but that was joy. The joy of the Lord, their strength. The proof of it, you see. And of course, the Lord answered by that mighty earthquake, and the rest of the story we know. Ah, when the Lord is there, there is joy. And even when there's catastrophe, disaster, terrible loss, bereavement, all the rest of it, through the tears, there is a solid, quiet joy. Because the Lord is with me. The Lord is at hand. And then the second thing that is a result of this is restraint. First part of verse 5, let your moderation be known unto all men. The word moderation is a very many-sided word, lots of different meanings, but it means basically a self-controlled temper, reaction to things, outlook on life, moderate. Moderation. You don't give way easily to losing it. Look at verse 2, Euodias and Syntyche. These two women had quarreled and they were disunited. They were not getting on. They had to be exhorted to be of the same mind in the Lord. That was not moderation. But that falling out is when there isn't the moderation. Ah, but that gracious, self-controlled attitude and spirit, the Lord works in us. It's been described in this way by a writer. Thou art near, O Lord. The thought is of the calm and overshadowing of his recollected and realized presence. That divine atmosphere in which bitter things and things narrow with the contractions and distortions of self must die, and in which all that is sweet and loving lives. Ah, you see, it's the Lord's presence right there. He sees me, he hears me, he's here. Moderation keeps you from going over the top, keeps you from going to excess, keeps you from blurting out things, doing things recklessly, thoughtlessly. Restraint. The Lord is at hand. And then, thirdly, another result is no anxiety. First part of verse 6, be careful for nothing, meaning full of care, worry, fear, anxiety. But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Why do we need to be anxious? Why do we get tense and worried? Why do we fear the worst? The Lord is at hand. He's right there to pray to. Let your requests be made known to him. Tell him everything. 1 Peter 5 verse 7, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. You're overshadowed by his presence. You're under his wings. You're right close to him. And he's waiting to hear from you. Tell him everything and unload your burdens and cares. Prayer meaning drawing near. Supplication meaning humility. Thanksgiving, ready with your gratitude and acknowledgement. Requests, asking for specific things that will relieve your anxiety. But if the Lord is at hand, you can do that. What a wonderful thing to do it at any time and anywhere, with a telegraph prayer or a more drawn out time if you can be alone with him. No anxiety with the Lord at hand. And then there is rest in our souls and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. The peace of God. That's almost the final triumph, isn't it? The final victory. Rest. Calm. All is well. At least inwardly. Because the Lord is at hand. Peace has been described as the smile of God reflected in the heart of the believer. When you know that God your Father is your friend, Jesus your dear Redeemer is right there with you, the friend that sticketh closer than a brother, and the Holy Ghost the Comforter indwelling you and keeping you in perfect peace. There's a little acrostic that you can make of the word peace. P, pardon. E, enjoyed. A, and. C, comfort. E, experienced. Pardon, enjoyed, and comfort, experienced. That sums up the peace that comes from the Lord being at hand. Pardon enjoyed and comfort experienced. And that is all because of his dear presence. 2 Thessalonians 3 verse 16, Paul writes, now the Lord of peace himself give you peace always and by all means. The Lord be with you all. And so it's his presence. The Lord is at hand in the reality of it and in the results of it. May the Lord make it good to us for his glory and our true blessing today and always. Amen. Let us pray together. Dear Lord, we continue in thy presence and we thank thee that we can speak to thee in the light of these things. Grant that we might receive the good of them. Work thy word into our souls. Grant us to know that thou art always at hand. And grant us, Lord, the felt experience of it, the comfort of it, the sheer blessing of it. Help us to live in the light of it, and help us to grow more and more like the one who is near to us, even Jesus. May people take knowledge of us that we have been with him. Go with us into this new week and help us, Lord. Grant that the things that we have heard might be translated into things that we prove, moment by moment. Bless us each one, and remember us all for good, as we ask these mercies through Jesus Christ. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.